time to be serious. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. 1 Corinthians 7:29-31. This solemn statement of Paul sets forth our pattern of conduct in the last days. It begins and ends with a reminder of how short and changing are these fleeting times. The time is short. The fashion of this world passeth away. Of course, there is a sense in which the time has always been short. It was short in Paul's day, for compared with endless eternity, the whole stretch of history is less than a drop of water beside all the oceans. But now, with all the signs of the times fast converging and God's signals going off all around us, who can doubt that the sands of the age are running low? It is true that at every crisis of history, there have always been some to prophesy that judgment was just around the corner. But their mistakes do not mean that we will not eventually reach that corner. Never have all the trends and tendencies and indications that mark the end of the age come together in such a pattern as we now behold. To go into that is not the purpose of this message, but humble students of the Word and the times are growing pretty unanimous that the time is short. Nothing is clearer in the Word of God than that in these last days Christians are called to unusual seriousness and special urgency while they walk circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Especially does the Word exhort believers to be sober. The bishop must be sober. According to 1 Timothy 3:2, the deacons' wives must be sober, according to 1 Timothy 3:11. Soberness is enjoined upon aged men in Titus 2, verse 2. Young women, Titus 2, verse 4, and young men in Titus 2, verse 6. We're to gird up the loins of our minds and be sober, according to 1 Peter 1:13, and to think of ourselves soberly, according to Romans 12:3, and to be sober and vigilant, according to 1 Peter 5:8. In the light of God's picture of the times, in the urgency and emergency of a world hastening to disaster, surely if ever the church ought to live with loins girded and lamps burning, praying and preaching with the light of another world in her eyes, it is today. Over and over we are exhorted to awake, to watch and pray, to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It was for such a time that Paul set forth in the words of the text the urgency of the situation and our proper behavior in it. It remaineth that they that have wives be as though they had none. Believers are not to be too much taken up with domestic cares. Now the world gives too little importance to marriage, as the divorce courts testify. But some Christians make it too important, so that it becomes their whole life. It was a mark of Noah's day that the people were marrying and giving in marriage. That is, such things were their life. In these last days, we're not to make home and family our supreme concern. Many Christians will not heed this injunction, for they do not even love their families enough. But others will need to hear our Lord's word about hating father and mother, wife and children, brethren and sisters, and even one's own life. Evangelists and missionaries often have had to keep Paul's word literally, but to the general Christian witness in the last days, it merely means that domestic interests shall not get our prime concern. Of course, some crank will get the text by the wrong handle and suppose that he is to turn celibate, but Paul assumed that the average reader would apply it with sanctified common sense. And then they that weep as though they wept not. We're not to be too much taken up with our sorrows. We're to be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, according to 2 Corinthians 6:10. Concerning departed loved ones, we're not to sorrow as others who have no hope. We're not to nurse old heartaches, mistakes, and bereavements, living in the past beside the casket of the dead in the graveyard of yesterday. Forgetting the things that are behind, we're to let the dead bury their dead. God said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan." The time is too short to spend it with our sorrows. It is not a cold, hard stoicism that is set before us here. Rather, Jesus is coming. There is too much to do to be occupied with our own troubles. And they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not. We're not to be too much taken up with our joys. We're to sit loose to our enjoyments and not to be so occupied, even with wholesome pastimes and recreations, that we cannot do without them. Ministers whose golf score is better than their prayer score may well take heed. We must be moderate even in our mirth, for such things are not our chief portion. Our joy is in the Lord, and it is easy to let the good endanger the best. If Satan cannot entrap us in our sorrows, he will ensnare us with our joys. In times of great crisis, ordinary mirth is quite out of place. God's alarm clock is going off every hour nowadays, and Christians should not be content with conduct which ordinarily would have been sufficient in times past. These are no ordinary times, and ordinary conduct is unbecoming. During floods, earthquakes, wars, people forego ordinary comforts, revise all their habits, and do things they never would do in ordinary times. If these temporal things stir men to unusual conduct, how much more should the people of God arouse themselves in these fearful days with unutterable judgment fast approaching? This is no time for trivial, silly banter and the small talk with which men come even to the doors of the church on the Lord's Day and which they resume as soon as they go out. Listening to us Christians around the church on Sunday morning, one would never suspect that the world was on fire, that Jesus was coming, and that we were Christ's witnesses in the end of the age. Verily, some mistaken sects and isms put us to shame, standing on street corners in all kinds of weather, handing out their literature of error, while we live in a day of good tidings and hold our peace. We're so taken up with our little joys that the supreme joy is quenched within us. And they that buy as though they possess not. It is not that we are to wear gunny sack garments, for there is no holiness in a hair shirt, but we must be poor in spirit. What we possess must not possess us. Many are kept away from the great supper because of land and oxen. In the last days it shall be as in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. These things were their life, and they must not be ours. This is no time for believers to hang up their stockings for the Santa Claus of this age to field. It is no time to feather our nest with earthly comforts. Someone has said, not wanting a thing is comparable to possessing it. And even better than possessing many things is to be independent of them. And then it says, and they that use this world as not abusing it. It is the present world setup that is in mind, the system which is so unmistakably under the prince of darkness. To be sure, we must have cars, clothes, money. We're not to hide in a cave. But these things are but a means to an end, and the traveler must not become absorbed in his baggage. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, "Who is the Lord?" or lest I be poor and steal and take away the name of my God in vain. That's what Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 says. We're not glorifying poverty, for it is easy to fall into the Colossian era of a false mysticism, asceticism, and neglecting of the body. It has been said, humility does not consist in thinking meanly of ourselves, it consists in not thinking of ourselves at all. And then Paul says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, says John. There are too many deluxe Christians who adopt a manner of living that poorly befits the way of the cross. We are to use but not abuse. Paul says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. There is something a little ironical in a congregation of elegantly dressed Christians with jewels galore singing, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. And it is a little amusing to watch a smug and comfortable crowd singing lustily, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a mansion for me over there. This world is our passage and not our portion. But some of us drive our tent pegs down as though we meant to stay. For the fashion of this world is passing away. It is not that it merely may pass or will pass. It is passing away right now before our eyes. The world passeth away and the lusts thereof, says John. The old black mammy who explained her tranquility by saying, I wear this world like a loose garment, was pretty near the truth of our text. And since the time is short, and the fashion of this world passeth away, and all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Let us who are of the day be sober, says Paul. There are boys selling newspapers and peddlers getting out their wares with more zeal than most of us who ever attempt to rescue souls or preach the word. A chaplain once asked his company just before they went into action, do you want me to conduct religious services or just tell you a good story? And one soldier said, if you feel that way about it, you might as well tell us a story. Some such flippant attitude is the mark of too many of us in this sad day. Life is too short and eternity is too long and souls are too precious and the gospel is too wonderful for us to take it easy. Living in perilous times in a crumbling civilization with men's hearts failing them for fear, if ever God's people ought to live as fools for Christ's sake, beside themselves and drunk on new wine, as a peculiar people whose citizenship is in heaven, surely it is now. Let us be sober, for the time is short, and the fashion of this world passeth away.